What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are three DMs who create story sessions based on randomized theme and scenario tables, determined by, of course, 2D20s. It's a great way to get the creative juices flowing and flex those DM muscles. With that out of the way, let's introduce ourselves. I'm DM Mambo, or Sam, as your transition host for this episode, and our scenarios host is...
Hi, I'm Malcolm, and I'll be on scenarios today.
And our lovely theme host will be...
Hello, I am David. Nice to see you.
But that's not all, because we have a guest this episode, who is...
Hello there, my name is also Sam, coincidentally. I run a fun little podcast called Roleplaying and Roleplaying with an accompanying Twitter account where we make jokes and ideas with a word that I'm not sure I can say in this podcast. I'm not sure what level of profanity you guys are good with cooking here.
It's like a brand now, so I think you can. I think it's fine.
We make shitty ideas at the Twitter account, so if you want to check those out, that's at rroleplaying. And then that has our website and links and all that stuff there. So that's who I am.
Yeah, glad to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to be here.
I think that's a perfect jumping off point for our question of the week. And that would be, what is the shittiest character you've ever brought to the table?
Oh, my God.
I'll go first. It is usually, usually an Eladrin elf pirate named... Jacques Lestraps, and he is the support of the sea. And his biggest thing is he's a pirate. He goes around smuggling, and he talks in a real shitty French accent and just says all these innuendos totally by accident. And gosh, does my dungeon master at that table really hate it when... he goes for one-shots, and I pull out that character. But, you know, he's a lot of fun. He's a rogue-bard combo, which is a lot more fun than people give credit.
I think mine, possibly too literally, there's a goblin that I play in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. And one of the, like, key traits that they have is they are resistant to fire, if you build them that way. And they can eat pretty much anything. And so that's one of the main character traits is... whenever we find something new, I eat it. So, he lives in a dump, typically, and he just kind of eats the trash of the people. It's a lot of fun. He's actually an artificer, so he's very smart, which you wouldn't normally think for a character that's eating garbage, but he likes it.
He uses what's available to him. I like it. For me, okay, depending... if we're talking D&D, it was a shapeshifter character, and his design was poor. I thought we were doing sneak in and destroy the government from within the campaign, and then all the other players were like, let's go to war with them. And I was like, I'm doing Game of Thrones. And they're like, no, we're not Game of Thrones, and we're going to be on the battlefield. And I was like, I hate this. So that was just a wrong build for a shitty character. It would have to be a different thing that was not D&D, but D&D inspired. A character named Ron Grayson, who was which I can feel my one friend who listens to this podcast, who was in that game with me, just shiver. He was just a human monk who was just very devoted to his god, and then he, like, walked out to do, like, a sabbatical to, like, learn about the world and realized the world was very corrupt. And it was like, oh, I know the solution. I'll just take it over. It's fine. I'll just root out all the sin. I'll go to all the places where all the things are bad, and I'll destroy it bit by bit until everyone believes that I'm the true, like, connection to God. And it was so, he became the that game's BBEG, and it was beautiful. I gladly gave up control of him when I lost him. I was like, yeah, no, if he wants to go full villain, take him full villain. Yeah. Best character.
Nice. Yeah. For me, shitty, that word's a little bit complicated. I guess funniest, because I've played this character in a couple one-shots now. His name's Skrem. He is a goblin who I've tried to max out the armor class on him. I think I got to like 28 just via a ton of magic items and shit. And his entire purpose, like, he has an intelligence of 5, and his entire purpose is to find the last can of beans in existence. And regardless of whether or not beans even exist in these worlds, I will them into existence with Skrem. And that's it. That is the entire character. And he speaks like you would expect he would. And he's great. I love him so much.
We need to get you to meet, I guess, friend of the show, Adam, good bean dad on Twitter. He's all about, he even has like a bean talk thing where he's like, oh, sit down, eat beans with me once, so it'll be great.
Very on brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of questionable food choices, not forced at all, David and Sam, shall we roll?
Let's do it!
Sure.
Alrighty. Alright. I got a 14 for scenarios.
I have a 12 for theme.
Alright, I got a 2 and a 6.
Okay, so while Sam pulls those up, basically what we're picking for here is theme and scenario. These are going to be the two guiding, or sometimes more, guiding, forces of the podcast from here forth. They're going to kind of help us figure out what kind of module we're going to build. So, yeah. What do we have?
So, it looks like today we have for our themes, we have NPC Dinner Party by Alvin, and also Vacation. That could be one of our choices. And then for scenarios, we'll pop over. We have Party Finds a Detailed Book of Their Adventures, Including the Future, brought to us by, as always, the lovely Combi Zombie. And again, a whopping double Combi Zombie. We have Stuck in a Classic Brothers Grimm Fairy Tale. So Sam, for our themes, once again, you can choose out of NPC Dinner Party or Vacation. And then scenarios, it's our detailed book of adventures, including the future, or Stuck in a Classic Brothers Grimm Fairy Tale. What combo sounds good?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vacation Book of Future and Past Adventures combo.
Okay.
I like it. I like it. A little beach anime arc episode, going. Yeah.
Type thing. We all need a beach episode in our things. The shopping episode and the beach episode. Oh, yeah. I like how close D&D and anime are, that when you say that, everyone's like, of course, yes, the beach episode.
I mean, that armor's got to get pretty stinky. You got to get out of that and just let it wash for a day, go to the beach and whatnot.
Yeah.
I have maybe never thought of that.
Maybe you
have
to see
before.
The big bad there. Maybe they don't have their plan ready yet, so you just play some volleyball. It's all good.
Yeah, a full-on Top Gun volleyball with the BBG and some minions.
One of our other ones that's, I don't know if it's on the list yet, but it's on our bigger list where we have the ones that we put on this list to roll from, is like go-karting with the big bad and basically just Mario Kart. And I was like, yes, I can't wait for that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, would they have like the go-kart track in their lair, like Bowser's Mansion or whatever, or Bowser's Castle?
I saw like a clip of something somebody made the other day, and it was just like the hero gets there too soon. The villain's like, no, I don't, I'm not ready. Like, go. And they're like, but I'm already all the way here. And they're like, you just hang out, like, just chill. Just don't interrupt you. But anyway, Vacation and a book that tells of the adventurers, adventures, both past and future. When you hear those two things, everyone, I guess, what kind of comes to mind for you guys?
I was thinking, like, you know how there's like a Bible or like a Book of Mormon in every hotel drawer, like somewhere, just you find it. Like, what if they go to like one of their rooms and they open the drawer and there's the book? Like, it's waiting for them.
And it's not just one book. Every single room has this same book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool, if, especially going off your point, David, that if each room has the book, it could be tailored to that character, or you could switch them. So, like, say player A has player C's book, and then player C has player D's book, and then they're like, but they don't know whose book is whose. That could be part of the mystery to solve.
I mean, go ahead.
I was thinking much more in the way of like an ultimate psychic NPC, where it's like your fate is really unavoidable. They knew that you were going to pick this room. They knew you were going to have what's inside. Each room can have a different book for a different person. So that way it's not like, oh, it's like, no, this was meant for you. And that's the creepy part of it. Good.
I think that if this is like a mini villain, wow, the word just totally escaped me, and I heard it like 5 seconds ago. You know, person who does the future things.
Psychic.
There we go. Dear Lord.
I've had those days. I got you.
Like, I have all the AC turned off, and it's like 90, so I'm like, I'm cooking alive in here. But
people don't believe in AC in this apartment or in this house, so it's like just fans, so I get you.
So what if the psychic was actively like using, like, what if this would be a really good situation, especially if the players had like hidden backstories from each other and just a ton of stuff came out, and they had just like very deliberately placed other players' books within the other players' rooms, so it just exposes them to certain other players. Like, say they wronged them in the past, or they stole an item from somebody else without them knowing. And kind of like reveals like just some dissonance within the party.
I like that. And if I may, I would like to. Okay, there's two things I'm going to reference here. One's much more obscure, so I'm going to start with it first. The Supergirl Flash first ever crossover episode is a musical in which they correct a ton of problems, because they, like, I don't know if it was the reception of like where the relationships in the show were going, but people were like hating it, and so they had an episode where literally an other dimensional being shows up and goes like, everything's a musical now, everyone has to sing out their feelings, and then that's gonna correct everything, and I'm gonna leave. And that's how they solve a lot of everyone's like relationship discourse. That's thing one. Thing two is Mothman would do this. Mothman would be your friendly, like, NPC. Everyone thinks Mothman monster. No, Mothman, cool guy who warns people of tragedies. So he'd be like, oh yeah, you're going to die by a Tarrasque if you're not careful. That's your future adventure. And that could be like his thing of like, I'm trying to help you avoid this bad future, but I can't interact but so much. Mm-hmm. And that could be like a fun thing there.
That is fun. I think a couple things that come to mind here in this combination. I also have two. But so there was an episode of Doctor Who. I think it's Angels in Manhattan or something like that, where basically there's a monster in the universe called Weeping Angels, and they gain energy from basically sending you back in time. They kind of steal you from the future. So kind of a similar idea to this, because the future is so mutable. Maybe the further in this book that you read, the more that you kind of cement. And this bad guy is able to kind of cement these parts of the future by writing them. And you kind of agree to it by reading further into the book. So that's how they develop their power dynamic, is they can kind of force you to do things in the future if you read along.
Now I have a question about that. Would it be, what happens, because you know one player is going to be like, I just want to see the end, I want to see how I die. Like, does that automatically just make that part there, and that everything else in between is negotiable, or how would that work?
Yeah, I think that could work. Like, part of the whole thing with the Doctor Who episode was they send you back in time to this hotel and force you to see yourself die in the future, because that creates like a fixed point in time, so it can't be changed. So that's kind of how they use these people as a battery.
I think... My only kind of concern with that would be, especially for D&D, or really what any system. I guess one, like, player agency could be a little wonky, especially if you have such a fixed point in the timeline where it's like, oh, this is how you're going to die. And I mean, maybe it'd be cool if it was like a curse with like will saves against that, you know, like you have to do like that or you're going to go down this path regardless. But it might be a little tricky to kind of work in, like, say somebody reads too far forward and their futures are written to be intertwined. What if somebody reads too far forward and somebody else doesn't? How does that work?
I think to go off of that, Sam, is I think what you could do is be more and more general as the book continues, to signify that the book is ever fluxing. Is that it? Fluxinating?
Fluctuating.
That's it. I was like, flux does not sound right.
Fluxing works, I think.
Fluctuating. You could have it as where, like, you know, you just put, because I think a lot of DMs have this, like, end goal in mind, this broad concept. So if maybe in your campaign, if it's like final battle with the big bad, and then you could say participates in war against, and then that's when you can maybe start your inkling of your big bad. You can name drop them. And so now you have a quest of, like, after vacation is done, you're like, who is, I don't know, Malachar is the first name that comes to my head. I don't know. Who is Malachar and why are we going to fight him? Or what you could do is you could put in, like, that NPC they met in episode or, like, adventure one, that cute little, like, oh, I'm harmless. Let me show you the tutorial, the ropes of the thing, you know, ropes of the adventure. You put their name down and they're like, why are we fighting you? He's like, I don't know. This must be weird. And then all of a sudden you start to unravel more and more as they play, like, you know, these books are nuts, they're useless type thing. As you go and go and playing, you can now insert the threads that of like, oh, this guy's a mastermind genius. Maybe he has like minions working, and every time like he's the reason why they always know where you are is because, well, you're telling Malachar, like, hey, we're gonna go fight the ogres in the forest, and he's like, oh, good luck. Hey, I need you to go to the forest? Yeah. Yeah. They're going to go fight the ogres. Help the ogres win. You know? I think that could be a cool agency. That way, they're still reading the story and as you are. So maybe you can control, like, the book that they give. Like, each session, you can give them back the book that you've added in as the DM. Add in notes that they want. But, like, keep the future stuff very broad. Or hit points on their backstory that they know of.
The first time I ever ran a campaign, it was basically an anime, meaning that I threw everything at it possible because I didn't think I was going to be able to run a campaign again. And one of the things I did was I gave them my characters death sticks, but I didn't know what those did in Star Wars. I just knew they were drugs. So I thought it'd be funny if they could see the future when they took death sticks, but they wouldn't know it's the future until much, much later. So how I worked with that when those events came was there would be a moment where they're like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the thing I need to do. Or this is the part where this happens. Like, at one of the parts, one of them, like, slips in a tavern and sees, like, a fish man. And there was nothing they could really do to avoid that because they didn't know when they were going to slip and see a fish man. That's, like, confusing. But another part, he had a point where somebody like cheered like, there's time to stop the villain. And so they said it instead, and that changed something. So little things like that, I think you can show or like make the big point of like, here's the moment where this happens, and they can choose what they want to do, if they want to follow the script or not.
Yeah. I kind of have changed my opinion on this a little bit as you guys have explained where you're coming from. And I think it actually would be really cool if you just leaned into it, just full throttle. And if that's the way that it turns out, that's the way the future happens, great, the prophecy or the book or whatever was correct. If it's not, then hey, the book was wrong. You were lied to. Who lied to you and why? Like, that could just be a double contingency plan. Either or, you still win.
You could always also change the book post-action and be like, yeah, the book said right here that it's different now. How dare it?
Mid-session. Hey, can I borrow your book real quick? What?
It could also be that you can't really flip into the forward into the book. Maybe the book kind of writes the next page as you read through it. So it's a magical item, this book. And so as you read it, and you're not getting like full descriptions. You're getting like scenes. It's describing kind of something that's happening. And so if it looks like a death scene, your party can kind of orchestrate that, where it's like, it looks like I die here, but that's actually part of our plan and we succeed doing this other thing. And so they get to kind of, you give them kind of the idea for how to solve something or how something will resolve, and they get to try to manipulate that so that it's in their favor.
I think that that gave me an idea, David, where if they're about to go into like a big battle, you know, after this like vacation, so maybe the vacation was a reward of their last quest, you know, an all paid inclusive vacation at some, you know, super healing spot where they could, you know, level up or something like that. Maybe their next thing is a giant, you know, it's going to be a tough battle, and they could go down. It could be a total TPK. Jesus, sorry. So that way you can write in those, like, you have. So in my home campaign, I have a player who goes down all the time, and it's the running gag of like, is our rogue gonna make it this time? And she's like, I stay in the back. I don't know what's going on. But like, the dice hate her. But anyway, it's the running gag. So maybe if you have a character who's like that, then you can write in their journal possible death, you know, or you see glimpse of a possible, like, you know, angel scene or something like that. I think that's a very good way of using this tool.
I like that. I think that really, if we want to take it full in the ambiguous direction, we don't use words. It's like a picture book. There's nothing attached to anything. It's just a scene that is sketched out in this book. And obviously, with the past, you can tell what's going on with a picture that's very descriptive of whatever the hell is going on. But in the future, you can be like, oh, there's an angel with a lance pointing directly at somebody who looks like the barbarian. Oh, my goodness. What could that mean? And then by the time you get to the end, you're like, oh, it was all symbolic. The angel represents your daddy issues. you finally reconciled with that. Congratulations.
That's really good. That's really good. For some reason, I was thinking only words because I didn't think of pictures. But if this is like a future campaign, you could also do it where it's a book, but it's like videos that are playing too. And Sam, you mentioned this could be like a reward. I think it could be fun. Before your party knows about this, you could have an NPC that kind of tags along with one of their previous adventures. And at the end, when everyone's worn down, they're like, hey, you know, you guys deserve a break. I read about a really nice vacation spot that I think would be good for us to go to. I think it's got stuff that all of you would do.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think this spot would be perfect for like exactly that, where it's NPC driven. It's all paid. Anything and everything they want is there. I was just thinking of you could do like comic book style, you know, just give 5 frames of something that could happen in the future. Doesn't even have to be specific. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if anyone's watched JoJo's Bizarre Circus, but they had a 2 brothers that were like comic book stand users, and like one guy would flip it, the younger brother would be like, look, if we do this, this, and this, this will happen. And he's like, all right. And then he's doing everything to like having this not happen because he's going to die. And then he's like, oh, wait, it happened this way. So I think that's like great use of I think the pictures would be much better than words. And if you're using the book and you want to use words, I would keep it to like maybe 5 quick, you know, bullet points.
I was going to say that we keep talking about exclusively one or the other, but it could be one fades in, like when the future becomes the past, when it becomes solidified, when it happens, that's when the words appear. But until then, it's just the picture. So you have the other things set up where it's like, the barbarian had his excellent fight with this person. And it's like, yeah, I remember that happening. And then it just shows like the next one where it's like, stabbed. And you're like, whoa, what happened? And it's like, it doesn't say anything. It just shows you stabbed. I don't know what that means. So like, you can drop hints that it's either symbolic or not by having the other pages in the past already kind of set up. Like, everything's kind of glorified. A lot more steel glass window type things where it's a lot more of like, this kind of means this, but does it really? Like, that kind of thing. So, yeah. Sorry, Sam, you also wanted to say something.
I was just thinking, like, what if it was just like a PowerPoint presentation? Like, this is a future game. Just little bullet points, like, here's how you're gonna die. Slide one. And it's like some clip art, like royalty-free stuff. Like nothing is tied to anything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're gonna get wild. Vacation is like, you're like, you need a break, and then like straight up like death comes to see you and is like, Leo, y'all keep almost like dying. Please stop. I don't want you to yet. It's not your time is here during this time. And it's just to flipping through like this, these are the events that lead to your death. That could be cool.
I think I like the idea of this being like death giving them a break, because this the book could be something you find, like this vacation takes place in Death's realm, whichever that is for your campaign, and your party can just go snooping and find like the Book of the Dead, and so they get to look through and see all of the people that they've killed. And that could be fun for, like, messing with some people's backstories. Like, if your rogue is like, yeah, I was an assassin, I killed all these people, you could have people from their backstory not actually be dead, or not show up as dead in Death's book. And then if they continue to flip ahead, they get to see, like, this is where fate has you dying.
Okay, okay. What if, okay, I love that. What if everybody they've killed, or at least everybody who's named, is in the hotel? Like, this is like some Shining shit, and they're all at they're all at like these buffet tables and stuff, right? And they're aware of like the book's existence, and they don't really hold a grudge against the adventurers. They're just like, man, thanks for setting me here, this place rocks. And then and the adventurers will have to like figure out like, oh man, if we don't escape this place soon, we're gonna be trapped in like the realm of the dead, and we'll be able to save the world or whatever. That's what I got. Yeah,
I think, well, there's perfect. I was looking at Celestial Beast. There's something called a Death Pact Angel in Ravnica. I think that could be a perfect, like, if you need an image for death, if you want it to explain for your players, because they've got, you know, the Scythe attack, Chains of Obligation. So it could be, you could change the chains to the Books of Obligation. She's like, you have to go and correct these wrongs of, like, or say, like you said, your rogue has, like, wait, why isn't Colonel Sanders on here? He was my first kill. And now you're like, wait, he's still alive?
You're Eric Oker rogue.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's like, I thought I killed Popeyes.
Couldn't handle the 11 herbs and spices.
That's the minions.
Kill
oh my god.
Guys named Herb.
Oh my gosh. That's a big, good, big bad. Colonel Sanders with 11 herbs and spices is the freaking minions.
Oh, my lord. And do we even...
He is already in so many things. Like, no lie, Colonel Sanders has, like... Colonel Sanders has a dating game. So, like, it's... I'm already just like... Colonel Sanders has a Lifetime mini-movie, okay? Like...
It's all right. It's nothing to scream about.
No, have you seen it? It's actually really good.
for what it is, it's amazing. For what it is, it's pretty great.
But I like the idea also of like setting up these like things where you're in this place where death is either like offering you a vacation, or it's just like, I'm a big fan of your work, guy. Like, wow, you brought all these people to me. Like,
you kill like the big bad, and like confetti goes off, death shows up, you've killed your 10,000th person. You've won a vacation.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Especially if your party is like a bunch of murder hobos, this can be kind of poking fun at them.
Yeah,
this could be like the perfect like secret rehabilitation thing, because it's like, this seems great, but why isn't it? Like, you're like, yeah, just stay here forever. And it's like, you keep killing people. Good. It just, they keep respawning. This is death. This is Valhalla, basically. Yeah. Like,
what if you just go full tilt with that? Just pull like a Palm Springs, just have the same, like, it's the same day that repeats, right? And that's why they're trapped in like the death hotel dimension, whatever. And it's like their own personal hell. And the lesson is like, you can't kill anyone. Death is meaningless. And like all this ascending, whatever you want.
I like that a lot. I was just going to say that this could be, you know, to maybe, so the vacation maybe is like a red herring, and like the vacation becomes like the new quest is to escape the vacation, basically. You know, first couple days it seems different and such, but then you get into the repeat of like, you know, someone comes in, they offer them drinks, massages, you know, they go to the beach, they can go shopping, everything's there. Next day, same person comes up and they like, keep going through and they're like, what's going on? All of a sudden, that's when they find the books. And in order to get the next page or the next chapter, they have to complete like missing parts of the book. So that's where the players have agency, where you don't, as a DM, know exactly what parts are going to be put into the book. But it's like choose your own adventure, sort of. But you have to, like, it might be a little prep heavy for you guys, for our listeners. But think of several different outcomes that could happen with, you know, their next page. So maybe it's like you said, the rogue didn't kill their second victim. And that second victim is the one going and seeking revenge. And that's why death was summoned. And so now they have to figure out how to go back and kill that victim to complete that page to get the new page. And then that's how they can keep going. But like, there's like, I guess there would have to be parts of it that they could go into like the future part. I'm kind of think of it's like kind of like Zatch Bell-esque, where when they reach a certain level, a new page they can read. I think that'd be kind of a cool concept of them. So maybe like the whole book's not completed, but like there's some in the middle pages that are completed, some at the end that are completed, but they're trying to complete the book or get to part of the book where they like leave, you know, the Death Hotel. So that could be like the part they could read up to. Players leave Death Hotel, you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking what you could do is you could have it be that that is essentially the end, is just it starts back over at a certain point in the chapter where it like shows the picture of like whatever the picture is of when they first get there. It's that picture over again at the end. So it's like, how do we get past this and not continue looping? As much as I like Palm Springs, we have done a few time loops before, but I do like the idea. I think it's almost creepier or worse if you have it be that the you kill a guy. It's fully acknowledged you kill a guy. And then the next day he's still up and running. It's like, oh, you killed me yesterday. Yeah, but here's your like French toast. I'm here to like do what I always do. And it's like, dang it, Alfred, stay dead. And it's like, no, I kill me again. I'll see you tomorrow. Like, death being meaningless is such an interesting concept, and I think it could really be used to punish your murder hobos. As far as the puzzle thing goes, I think, again, for escaping, you would have it be that way it would show hints so that people would get, like, okay, this is kind of how we get out. We clearly look at the hallway, there's three roads to take. And the picture's like them going like, which road? Versus it being like, oh, some way where it's like, we took the right one. The right one's this way. And like, you know.
I think that if we, it's like, oh my lord. This could be a really fun way to not only punish your players in terms of like, oh, these people resurrect. The players resurrect too. We can fully just do a rocks fall, you all die scenario and just bring them back the next day. But like literally just do that, or just kill them off in like the goofiest ways possible, because it doesn't matter in whatever state they're in. And plus, it could be a good way to like test encounter strength or whatever. It could be a good way to test player capabilities versus different kinds of saves and whatnot. I don't know what system you're running, but that could be a good testing site, I guess, for that.
Your testing gave me an idea. This could be a great way for DMs, for our listeners. Take those combat encounters that your players ruined for you and re-put them in here. So when your players derailed or like found a magical way of, and you're like, God, I really set up this really cool fight with the dragon and the kobolds. It was going to be so cool. They had siege equipment, but they charmed their dragon into letting them go without a fight. Bring it back and put it in here. And then it could show, this book could show what should have happened. And death is like puzzled, or the fates are puzzled. Like, how are you surviving outside the realm of destiny and fate? How is this possible? Look, chapter 3. You were supposed to fight the horde of goblins and meet a bugbear who led you here. Instead, what you did was you made friends with Smeek, who then took you to the exit and you met with the other person who you weren't supposed to meet for five more like sessions. And like, that's, I think that would be a really cool way of using this book and tying in the vacation. I don't know. I thought that'd be kind of cool of like that as a DM who I'm sure everyone has dealt with like ways of like, man, I made this really cool encounter and you guys didn't do it, which, you know, I go with the flow and I have chaotic players as well. So I'm used to it at this point. But at times I was like, this encounter took me 3 hours to like to make. And I'm like, I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm salty that you didn't.
It could be a vacation from death just to work in that vacation part more clearly and more just straight up so we have it. So that way it's like, oh yeah, you're on vacation. You can't die. Like, death can be like the most like normal, chill dude about everything. Like, I don't think at any point you should make death be angry about what they're doing. I think at the end, he's just like, no, don't fuck with my plans ever again. Like, this very, like, thing of, like, you don't mess with any of that ever. Do not mess with what I'm doing. Do not mess with any of it.
It's very Hotel California-esque, you know, never leaving. Mm.
Yeah. I think having Death is, like, a really chill person who's, like, super resigned to their kind of fate as the person who shepherds the dead into whatever Hotel California-esque monstrosity this is. And kind of like, I think if we just have them like as a super chill, like they've got like a Hawaiian shirt on, they're constantly drinking like a pina colada, like kind of like a dude from the Big Lebowski kind of character.
Big Lebowski death is awesome.
That's just like, it was like, we killed that guy yesterday. That's just, like, your opinion, man.
That's right.
I always go off the Twilight Zone, so I always think, like, nice suited guy. But super chill is just like, yeah, no, this is a process. You gotta make sure you're doing it right. I don't make the rules. I just carry them out.
What if you're on this vacation because you've been killing so many people, death just needs a break? So he brought you along on vacation because he's like, yo, guys, love your work. That Hydra, oh, beautiful. When you killed so-and-so, loved it. Super great. When you use that, like, you know, reassure your players, like, when you use your 9th level spell for the first time, oh, fireball in a 30 by 20 room with your play, with your companions next to you, oh, daring, inspiring, love it. But I need a break.
Do you know how many heads I had to carry?
So kill everyone here, they're already dead. I just give me like a week off so I can recoup, because these bones, man, they are tired.
Now you're making me want like a Bruce Almighty with death, where it's just like, hey man, you think you can do so great at this, you do my job, bye, here's the book with all everyone's future in it. I gotta go, I'm on vacation, later.
It's just
that could be cool too. I know we're like 44-ish minutes in, but that's a cool concept.
I mean, it's got to,
honestly,
it's got to be Morgan Freeman. Death has to be a chill Morgan Freeman. There's no way around that.
I wish I could do Morgan Freeman's voice. I thought about it for a split second, and I was like, no, I can't. I can reach very good voices. None of them are Morgan Freeman. So, but yeah, that would be really great, is to have a kind of, honestly, any entity, I'm going to add that to our list of themes and scenarios later, any entity taking a vacation, like death, a god, anything, like.
So, what if this hotel that we're setting up, or island or whatever, when you die, you go here, this is purgatory. But death has to go and find you and kind of usher you to the next place. But you've sent so many people here, he needs a break from that. So you get a vacation on this nice island. The only thing you have to do is take care of kind of all of the souls that you've put in here that he hasn't been able to catch.
So you're basically Sharon. You're just ushering them in, and you're like, get on my boat! It's me! I'm doing it this time!
I mean, wouldn't they all just, like, despise you? And now you're like, come on, I'm going to usher you to the pearly gates. And they're like, hey, asshole, you already did that the first time. Let's get someone else.
That's really good. So you could have those repeat combats, but your characters are kind of in charge of this realm now. So they'd be a little bit stronger than, like, on the Prime Material plane. But they could still die. But if they die, they just reincarnate. You could have those fun combats and get to, like, play them out as you want. And be as deadly as you want, because death doesn't matter here.
They're just going to come back and be like, did you really have to slice off my head? There was no showmanship. No one's looking around.
I feel like this could be a really cool way to play with mechanics. I don't know, this is stretching. But if you're playing D&D, if you could take like a level of warlock into like undying or whatever, if you're a servant of death in this case, like even just temporarily, or you get like a cool item or something just to kind of give it a little pizzazz, like a new mechanic, like, oh my goodness, what is this? Spicy.
There is a... Okay, so in a different D&D game that I came up with that I haven't had anyone play yet, it's basically going to be Xiaowen Showdown. One of the things I wanted, though, was for it to be like different creators and different people from different worlds, different gods. All the gods got into a fight, everyone died. I know, exciting. But anyway, one of the objects was the pumpkin head of the Headless Horseman. And that would, like, basically turn you into Ghost Rider, and you would just walk around. So you could have a Ghost Rider campaign where it's like, you're all under my contract now, I'm going on vacation, I'm leaving this to you. Like, here's the book of everybody's lives, here's the book of, you can read your own life if you want after our deal's done, I don't care. Like, and then they could also have a cool item that works into the first part we kind of talked about, too, where it's like, you do this part, the reward is the book that tells you your future. I don't care if you read it, it's yours, you can have it, but do you really want that? And that's one of the things with death where it's like going to be like, oh, well, and death doesn't have any like malicious intent for you, it's just like, I don't care, just do my job, please, I'm tired.
You have worn me out.
Mm-hmm. Death could also be Jamaican, like Grim Adventures and Billy and Mandy.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So what kind of encounters would there be if we're doing death's job here?
I feel like if you could do like a and I'm sorry for even referencing this, Hotel Transylvania, where everybody's like all the attendants or whatever are just zombies or whatever, just to kind of really kind of get in that mood of like, oh, everybody's dead here, isn't it spooky? Ooh, but I mean, there's like a pina colada mixer like on the table or whatever. There's like floral bouquets everywhere, so it's like this really weird disconnect between like these horrible undead abominations like dragging chains around, but oh, what's connected to the chains? A fun little surfing video game to plug in at the arcade? Oh, amazing.
That's really good. So basically, like, as these people kind of get brought to their final resting place, their souls leave, but the husk that kind of they piloted around here stays, and so those become kind of the servants of this realm.
That's good. That's good.
That could work.
I think a persuasion check kind of encounter or a role-playing-esque one would be, you could have a stubborn old lady or hag who doesn't want to move. You know, she's like, I'm comfortable in room 302. I'm not leaving. I have all my cats there. And so they have to convince her that, like, okay, it's time to move on. Here's your fairy. Like, her ferryman or whatever has been waiting there for, like, years. And he's like, she's died 200 years ago. No one can get her to leave, and death has just decided to abandon it. He doesn't care. I haven't seen my wife and kids in like 300 years. So maybe part of like the role-playing one is like going, convincing her to like finally leave and go to the afterlife. She's like, I'm having too much fun cursing my grandkids.
So, okay, a few ideas here based off of that, because I really, really like that, Sam. What if it's like so, in a lot of these stories that have God or an entity in it, where it's an actual being like Bruce Almighty, at the end it's like, haha, part of my plan all along, wink at camera, and that's it. So what if death is like, no, I just need you to do a few contracts for me, but it's all the ones he couldn't solve, and it's because he needed, like, a human touch that he knows he just doesn't have. So he's like, okay, you can go, you can convince the, like, lover whose person hasn't died yet that they should still move on, and they'll get to see them eventually. You should convince the grandma who's like, I need to curse my grandkids forever, that, like, vengeance isn't a life worth living. You need to move on. And, like, having that be the setup for that.
I think that is amazing. And I think if we want to take it, like, one step further, like, the wink at the camera is if you named those NPCs after some of the players, just be like, oh, who could this be? Oh my goodness. Oh, Dave? Who's Dave? Oh, that's the janitor. He's been here for 10,000 years and he won't leave. Go home, Dave. Wink, wink, hint, hint. But I mean, yeah, Death could totally just have an alternate name. And it's like, oh yeah, just call me Chris. And it's like, that's the name of the DM. And it's just totally roll with it.
I like that. I think all of like the contracts and such could be in the book, and it's laying out, you know, players meet Esmeralda, and that's like the old lady in. Player hears sad story, and like that's like her like Grim Reaper trying to take her to like the afterlife, or her Charon, who's like, I just want to go home, get her on this ferry so I can get her down the River Styx home to like to her right level of hell. And I think that's when you could do like even the PowerPoint of like, you know, here's like a, you show a picture of the lady, and then, or a picture of five or six different ghosts that are there. And that's when they're like, oh, these are the five people I have to go try to find or see. Or you just like, hey, you bump into this crippled old lady bent over and she smells of urine and wet cat food. and like, you're like, oh,
this is quite an image you painted.
She looks like the lady in the book, you know? So I think that's something you could use the book for, just to, and like, again, the book is, they don't even have to meet Death right away. It could just be a note in the book. Like they check in, they fall asleep, they wake up next morning on their stand is this book, and it's like it's a little friendly note written by Death. Hey, going on a quick 1 week vacation. Thanks so much for taking care of my responsibilities for that week. Love, Death. And then like, you know, the next day when they're like, I'm not doing this, he comes in, he's like, hey, you know what? I deserve this. You just killed 20 people in the last month.
I like that. And I like that reasoning, too. I think that's fair.
I like the idea of this book being magical and maybe even sentient. So you can, rather than having to like flip through to all these different people, as you kind of approach one of these lost souls, or these really stubborn souls, you can be like, okay, she has a name tag. It says Esmeralda. Book. What do you have on her? And then that's how you kind of get the backstory. So you're not being told by Death, you're being told by this book that's like, yeah, she's been here this amount of time. This is how she died.
It's like a Pokedex for old dusty dead people.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, I really like the sentient book angle. Maybe it's gotta have like a really neutral voice or whatever.
I was thinking Brendan Lee Mulligan's,
Ah, yes, the Identify spell. That's a classic.
That's pretty good.
I think that's great. And I think what could happen, because I know, like, the scenario is they find the book that, like, detailed book of their adventures. So you have, like, what they have, you know, before, what they've already completed. And then you have this part here, and it talks to them. And then you can have, like, brief, like bullets of what you the DM have already planned. So it's like, you know, city arc, forest arc, you know, I don't know your games, what you have in your minds. But like they can take the book with them, and that's a way for the DM now to like give them information on like upcoming arcs. So like there's the future part, you know?
Because this is the Book of the Dead, it'll only be centered around like how things die. So you can throw in information on your city arc about, like, the enemies that your party's going to face, but only in the encounters that they're going to kill them. So, like, if they know there's a spy, but they're really high up, they have to find out how to, like, prove it in the future. Or, like, I don't know, if they're like, you're going to kill this dragon, but they don't even know about the dragon yet.
I feel like this is a really subtle way of the DM just showing the players their bullet point notes they have for the session.
That's really, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
The Grim Reaper has already been told to be the GM or DM, so it's fine.
Has like a separate binder called Session Notes. Oh, whoop, you weren't supposed to see that. Your Book of the Dead.
I think this one's really wrapping up nicely, too. I think we've got a good handle on it. I like how we've combined the first part and the second part. We just kind of flipped them, which works.
It does.
I think that having a book that, and I like the idea of like limiting it to like people die here, and then like at the occasion where people don't die, it's like that page is now like blank, and you're like, what happened? It's like, well, people didn't die. They were supposed to die. They didn't. That was a key moment where people could have died. Like, didn't happen. So,
I think it's a good time to move into the recapping synopsis if no one has anything else to add.
Yeah, I agree. This week, Sam, our lovely guest, is there a recap or a synopsis? Would you prefer to do one of them?
So for the recap, would I explain the final thing that we've come to?
Pretty much the final like bullet point we've come to. So like kind of a quick summary of what we've talked about, and then the synopsis would be an in-depth like image you would use.
I can do a recap.
You DMing. Okay, yeah. So with that, then David, you're on synopsis, and Malcolm, you have the outro.
All right. Should I just go with the recap right now?
Yeah, if you have something in your mind.
Sure. All right, so for the recap, we started off with this wonderful little roll of a book we find in a vacationing area. And we've kind of flipped all over the place with that. We're like, oh, it's tells the past and the future. Oh, but it's a picture book, too. Maybe it's a PowerPoint presentation. It could be a lot of those things. And death is there. But maybe he's not. And we've kind of come to the decision that death wants a vacation and has kind of lured the players into this place to sort of act as a boatman over the River Styx, as it were, or whatever that equivalent is in your wonderful little homebrew setting. And the players essentially have to kind of find people and usher them into the life after this mid-zone, this Hotel California, if you will. And it sort of has kind of branched out from there, and a reward, perhaps, is a book on the future of the players. So I think that's what we got, unless someone's got anything to add to that.
No, that's really good.
I just thought of something, which is the fact that we're not going to flesh this out, but this is an idea that I think would be beneficial to talk about, is the road to heaven and the road to hell. You have to boat. I mean, you can just get them on the boat if you want, but if you have to be the boatman who actually gets them there, that's also pretty fun. That's a whole different encounter you guys can come up with.
That's a pirate campaign waiting to happen. Boom.
Death Pirates, that's hilarious.
That's got to be the name of my new ska band, Death Pirates.
Okay, so for the synopsis, we zoom in on the stronghold of a great warlord, your party having just snuck their way through, assassinating and openly destroying in combat all of the thousands of minions of this warlord. You make your way to the final chamber, battle him, and you are successful. You lay waste to this warlord. Your party is very low on health, damaged, exhausted. And as he falls, you feel slightly jubilant and you hear a very loud sound in the corner of the room that's like liquid going through a straw. And your party quickly looks in that direction, and kind of resting in the corner is a skeleton drinking a pina colada with a lei around its shoulders. And it claps on the edge of the coconut that their drink is in. You guys did real great. But this is a lot. I am real tired. I need you to... you're going to do my job for me for a little bit, because you've sent way too many people my way. I'm too old for this shit. Here is my book. And he kind of plops down this dark, leather-bound tome that's about a foot high on the ground. Kind of waves his hand to you and says, good luck. He disappears in a flash of light. And as your players are blinded by that, they feel the light grow in heat. And then this, the ground underneath their feet softens. They're on a beach, bright blazing sun, and there's a nice resort in front of them. Floating on the water behind them is a skeletal boatman. He grunts at them, not really capable of speech. And your party now gets to explore Death's Island and send people where they need to go.
That's perfect. I think I'll just take over the outro and we'll just splice Malcolm in. I think he lost connection there. But thanks again for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Linby off of the album Drive. Malcolm's back, but I'm just going to go roll with this one. If you like it, you can hear more of them on lindy.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. Again, I have been Sam, or DM Mambo, and you can find me on Twitter at DM Mambo5. In our show, you can find us at FitGD&D on Twitter. And Malcolm, if you'd like to go.
My internet dropped out and everything went kind of whack. Hopefully I didn't interrupt, did I, David?
It's okay. Can you hear us now?
Well, it's your turn to outro yourself. I don't think he can hear us. David, outro yourself.
I was our scenario host. I am David. You can find me on Twitter at Daedra18. That's Daedra18. We will insert Malcolm here.
And I'm Sam Cumberford. I run Roleplaying. You can find us at roleplaying, R-O-L-L. It's a pun. Aha, get it? Playing on Twitter.
Thank you again so much for being with us. I think this is going to be a great one. And we are an Obtuse Audio podcast, and you can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. And as always, we need those 5-star reviews on any and all podcast platforms that take reviews, like Apple and all of those. And please check out our guest. And that's been it for this episode. Join us next time on Filling in the Gaps, Rerolled.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
I just got my thing to work. Damn it.
You want to say yourself real quick, bud? You want to go and outro yourself real quick?
Yeah, bye.
All right, we got it.
Bye.
Obtuse Audio.